Hello, I'm Matthew. I'm the lead pastor here at Cedar Ridge. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're beginning a brand new series today called Recentering, and it's all about self-care. How can we do a better job of looking after ourselves? We talk a lot here at Cedar Ridge about looking after other people, about serving others, loving others, bringing justice, and that's a vital part of our spirituality. But it's also really important that we take care of ourselves, because if we don't do so, we won't have the life and the energy to give away to others, to share with others. So if you think about it also, the reason we put such priority on justice, on loving others and serving others, is because we believe everyone bears the divine image. Everyone belongs to God. Everyone is important and precious. And if that's the case, then that applies to us as well. So we need to look after ourselves. So for the next few weeks, we're just going to be looking at different practices that can help us do just that. I'm actually trying to practice what I preach at the moment by looking after myself. I'm taking a few days off, and so I'm not in on the Zoom call today and won't be next week either. So you could take that as an opportunity to give some feedback in the chat about the message. Unfortunately, I won't be able to see it, but you can go at it this week. Seriously, do please use the chat facilities. You can chat privately with another person on the call, or share a public comment, a thought, some feedback, some a suggestion. Please do use the chat facility throughout this service. So I think it's fair to say, when we think about self-care, this whole issue of self-care, I think it's fair to say that right now, we probably really need it. I think most of us are probably feeling pretty drained, pretty tired. You know, we've talked about this quite a bit over the last few weeks and months. The pandemic obviously has just created a whole set of stresses that we probably could never have imagined. Just going to work, going to school, conducting relationships is it's just so much more complicated, so much more tiring and difficult. We've got, you know, in our culture, we have so much injustice. There's polarization and discord. And I think also probably, if you're anything like me, you're also conscious that there's always somebody who's struggling more than you are, who's worse off than you are. And so you kind of feel a bit guilty about feeling bad, if you like. And, you know, I think all of that sort of adds to this feeling of oppression and stress and sort of weight on our shoulders. And so, you know, I'm at the outset here, I wanted to read a scripture that we've read many times before at Cedar Ridge. It's words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to read it, and it'll be very familiar. And then I've just got three reflections really quickly that kind of I think perhaps contextualize some of the rest of the series for us as we think about taking care of ourselves. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here's three questions, and you don't have to answer these right now, but just they're sort of, you know, something to reflect on. First one is this: do we really believe that rest is possible, or that kind of life is possible? Jesus seems to be implying and assuming that it really is possible. He's saying, come to me and I'm going to give you that kind of life. I'm going to take that burden. And, you know, how much hope of that do we have? And as we go into this series, even, that change is possible. Secondly, what do we feel about being tired? Like, do we think it's okay to be tired? Is it okay to be weary? Or do we feel perhaps we should be coping better, we shouldn't be so tired, we should be on top of things, tiredness is weakness. You know, I think those are struggles for us. Jesus seems to be implying and assuming that we will get tired and that we will feel burdened. He's not judging us or saying that we're in the wrong, but just offering us an alternative. I think if we, to really take Jesus up on this offer, we have to get over any sense of shame or inhibition about just admitting that we're tired and that we're weighed down. And that can sometimes be kind of hard. And then the third thing is, what do we feel about the fact that we read this all the time at Cedar Ridge? In other words, this isn't the first time we've talked about coming to Jesus. And if you think about it, the series we're in, and beginning is called Recentering. It's like centering again. The implication being that we perhaps were centered again previously, and you know, somewhat centered, but now we've drifted and we need to recenter. And how do we feel about that? Do we feel like what kind of reception will we get when we come back to Jesus again? Like, oh, sorry, I drifted off again. Again, do we have a sense of guilt, a sense of shame that we don't always stay in that centered place? Where we're on top of life and sort of, you know, managing our lives well and in some kind of harmony. Here's a sort of an image for you. I think about when I go leave my house and leave my dog, whether it's just for a few minutes or a few hours. Whenever I come back, my dog's just over the moon to see me, and it's fantastic. It's just, you get this amazing greeting. There's no judgment, no like, where have you been, what have you been up to, it's just, oh, I'm just so glad you're back. And if you think about it, Jesus told a story like that about God. He told a story about a young man who, in a very insulting way, leaves his father and goes off with a load of money and spends it all. And his dad is heartbroken, and every day he looks out for him on the horizon. And finally, when his son returns, thinking he's going to get a good telling off, and you know, all the rest of it, he just gets this unbelievably loving, joyful reception. So I think what we could do is perhaps think that God is like that. And Jesus is telling us that, you know, when we come to him, when we return, when we recenter, there's nothing but joy, nothing but delight on the part of God. And it's not judgment. So we've got this opportunity, in other words, for the next few weeks, just to experiment and return and recenter and recalibrate and experience all that joy and know that there's joy in the heart of God celebration. And that's, I think that's a really positive way of us looking at this series. Today we're going to talk about reflection. And so, you know, one way to look after ourselves is to slow down, to reflect on our own lives, and to see where we need to care for ourselves. And in particular, I want to focus today or think about reflection as a way of kind of assessing our own level of self-love, our own level of, or assess what we think about ourselves and grow in the art of self-love, practices that can help us love ourselves better. Because the truth is, I think, that most of us don't particularly love ourselves. We don't particularly like ourselves even. And I say that as a fellow human being who struggles with that myself. But I'm also, I don't want to project that onto everybody else. But I'm also, in my role, I get to talk to a lot of people about their lives. And I would say that most people I interact with are really not very enamored with themselves. And we have way more compassion on other people than we have on ourselves. And, you know, we call it all sorts of things, lack of self-confidence, low self-esteem, maybe more extremely, sometimes we'll call it self-hatred or self-loathing, but I think it's something that we all struggle with. And it's not hard to see where it comes from. You know, you think about, as we grow up in life, all sorts of things are projected onto us, you know, expectations, and we disappoint people, whether we pick that up from our family of origin, from teachers, from bosses, from in relationships. We don't always get it right, or we're made to believe and feel that we don't always get it right. And we know that ourselves. We know we're not perfect. And we sort of grow up with this sense of imperfection and which often leads to a sense of lack of self-love. Our culture projects that, like, we're not good enough, we're not fast enough, we're not pretty enough, we're not good looking enough, we're not rich enough and successful enough, whatever it is. Culture projects that we're not up to scratch, we're not up to standard, and we have a low view of ourselves. Even religion, obviously, can do that as well. Take our own religion, Christianity. I mean, we're all trying to be like Jesus. I mean, that's a pretty high standard. And again, if you're anything like me, I'm not up to that standard. Church can be an environment in which we feel, we're imperfect. and have a sort of low view of ourselves. So, you know, not hard to see where it comes from. I think, though, at the same time, it's very subtle. It sort of weaves this sense of self-loathing or at least lack of self-love, let's call it. It sort of weaves itself into our lives, into our behaviors. It certainly, I think, inhibits us from slowing down and looking inwardly and looking at ourselves, and certainly inhibits us from thinking that we should take care of ourselves, because we just don't have compassion on ourselves. In fact, we beat ourselves up and put ourselves down. We can also have, you know, behaviors where that really sort of dysfunctional behaviors that affect other people as well. They affect us, like we might overwork and overperform in order to try to feel better about ourselves. But we, in doing that, we can often put other people down. We can be critical of other people, or on the flip side, we can be overly trying to please other people. Either way, in order that we would feel better about ourselves, ironically, and it doesn't work. But it's sort of a compensatory mechanism that we sort of begins to grow in our lives. And then obviously all sorts of behaviors, whether it's sex, drugs, alcohol, relationships, that where we're desperately looking for love in all the wrong places, to use the cliche, it results in all kinds of dysfunctional behaviors. So what I want to do is today is just sort of look a little bit at how can we grow in the art of self-love. And how can we begin to sort of perhaps unravel some of the ways in which lack of self-love has woven itself into our lives? And, just sharing from my own experience, like when I was a young boy, I grew up I was pretty sensitive and pretty tuned in to how people were feeling, and always wanted to help people. And that's a good thing. That wasn't a bad thing. But over time, what it led to, for various reasons, which I won't go into now, but led to me feeling like I always needed to fix a situation where somebody wasn't doing well, where somebody wasn't feeling right, whether it was in my family and other friendships. I was tuned in and I needed to sort it out for them, and I felt bad if I couldn't. And then, if somebody felt bad with me, or if there was a conflict situation, I would feel it was always my fault and I needed to sort it out. I was trying to sort things out that I had no control over whatsoever. And so obviously failed, in my estimation, at sorting them out, and started to feel bad about myself. And over time, sort of built up this progressive self-loathing or sort of disrespect of myself or lack of self-love, because in my view, I wasn't really doing what I should be doing, which was helping all these people. You may have had some of those kind of experiences or other experiences where you don't realize it. You're not conscious of it. You're not walking around thinking, oh yeah, I've got this problem. It's just woven itself into your life. And I, like everybody else, had all these other negative, dysfunctional compensatory mechanisms to deal with my own lack of self-love. It wasn't until I got into a situation where I realized, oh man, I need to go and get some therapy, and sort of therapist for quite a period of time, who helped me begin to look at this and see these behaviors and see this pattern in my life and kind of work out some why and how it developed and how it was really affecting so many aspects of my life. It wasn't until I did that, I did some reflection, if you like, that I was able to see it for what it was and begin to do something about it. And I'm still working on that now. That's a lifelong journey. But I just share that as an illustration that these things are subtle and they sort of have woven themselves into our lives in a way that we don't always notice, don't always see. Sometimes something happens and it's glaring and we see it. And actually, even though those are usually incredibly painful situations, they're actually a gift because we actually see it for what it is and we have this opportunity in those moments to recenter. And some of us might be going through some of those struggles right now just because of the stresses of life that we're in and the sort of pressure cooker that we're in at the moment. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I want to look at another scripture that that Jesus said that we say a lot here. You know, we read a lot here. This one's also in Matthew's gospel. It's in Matthew chapter 22. Jesus is asked the question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The law was everything to the Hebrew people. It was like the secret to life, if you like. And so really what they're saying here is, what's the secret to life, Jesus? And Jesus is giving us these three coordinates, if you like. Three coordinates for love. Three coordinates for recentering. And it's love God, love others, and love self. And so we just want to explore these a little bit. How can these three coordinates help us grow in the art of loving ourselves? And I think the first one is kind of obvious. Love God and experience God's love, if you like. So it's a sort of reciprocal thing. And I think for a lot of us, if we think about God in very personal terms, more anthropological terms, like as Jesus did, describing God as a father, we perhaps have had to adjust some of our thinking about God is not an authoritarian dictator, but actually a loving, kind parent. And that's been an adjustment for some of us who may be grown up with other views of God, of other understandings about God that were more dark, more negative. Or we have a more more abstract view of God, where we see us, God is within us, God is without us. We use that metaphor of we're like sponges in an ocean of love. We're God is within and without us. We're immersed in God and full of God. And so recentering is just kind of recentering around the fact that we're all sacred, we're all precious. We have the very divine essence is within us, and that can help us accept and love ourselves more. And also it's a kind of recentering into what's outside of us. In other words, it's a recentering into the infinite dimensions of God's love. That's just plenty big enough for us to hold us with all our imperfections. And we can kind of just be accepted in that enormity. And those can really help us, I think, to accept ourselves a little bit more and see ourselves in a different light. Likewise, I think when we think about others, we seeing other people and seeing their struggles helps us realize we're not on our own. We're fellow strugglers. So we're not uniquely broken people. We're human beings who are all broken and all on a journey, all in a process of change. And I think that can help us too. But I think even though we may sort of embrace those concepts about God and others, it's really still very, very hard for us to actually love ourselves, because we feel like, well, other people, it's not universal that other people love us. I mean, other people, some people clearly don't and don't even like us, right? So there's that factor, and we get mistreated by people. With God, I think sometimes we project onto God some of the things that we wouldn't dream of projecting onto other people. Like, we're trying to, God is now, this father figure or authoritarian figure or authoritative figure who says you're okay because I say you're okay, and we sort of pin our identity on that, and we wouldn't do that with our own parents or any other person in our lives. We'd feel that was pretty dysfunctional to find our identity like that through somebody else's authority or through somebody else's perspective, and I think we also wrestle with the fact that, well, God kind of has to love everybody, so that's part of what being God is all about. We don't necessarily feel it in the same way. It doesn't necessarily change the way we feel about ourselves, should I say. And so I think we have to grow in the art of loving ourselves and practice loving ourselves. And I want to share with you three things that are ways I think we can do that. There are way more, of course, but I just want to share three of them. First one is practicing self-compassion. And with all of these three, I want to sort of flip things around a little bit and think about, okay, we would treat other people in a much more compassionate way than we would treat ourselves. When Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus is actually saying, extend to yourself what you would extend to somebody else, and vice versa. And the implication is, if we don't love ourselves, that we can't really love somebody else. And so as we look at somebody else, it's much easier for us to have compassion on them, especially if they're close to us. If somebody comes to us with a problem or a failing or a difficulty, we're very quick to understand and to you say, well, you know, it's not that bad, or, you know, or I still love you, I still accept you. But we really find that hard with ourselves. So these are practices that where we're going to kind of flip things around a bit and hear what Jesus says about how we should treat others, and then think, what would it look like if we treated ourselves like that? Let's look at another scripture. This one's also in Matthew's Gospel. It's in chapter 9. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. What would it look like if we were to take that view of ourselves? Right? I think we want to be like Jesus, and so generally we read a passage like that and we think, yeah, I want to be compassionate towards other people like that. But what if we had that same compassion on ourselves? When we look at ourselves with our failings and our difficulties and our struggles and everything, what if we saw ourselves like a sheep without a shepherd? Like somebody who needs to come back to Jesus, somebody who needs to return to the center. What if we were to treat ourselves with that same kind of compassion and empathy, just as we would extend that to a friend? Can we grow in that art? And we're going to do a little practice in a moment, right at the end here of the message, which will is also included in the discussion questions this week. And it's a way that we can perhaps just become more intentional about that. It's not going to solve all our problems immediately, but perhaps we can practice it and get a little bit better at being more compassionate towards ourselves. Here's another one. What if we were to practice self-forgiveness? Very often, the reason we feel bad about ourselves is because we know we've done things wrong. We've hurt other people. Some of the things we've done wrong are terrible, and you know, so terrible that we don't like to talk about them and hope other people don't find out, right? I mean, we all have those kind of things that we've done in our lives, and it's really hard to forgive ourselves. Let me give you an example of this. In a close relationship of mine, not sort of immediate family or anything like that, but a relationship I really care about. A few months ago, I reacted kind of in the moment to somebody in a way that was kind of hurtful. And I was really sorry about it, apologized. And that person, for all kinds of reasons, really struggled to forgive me. It's in a bit better situation now. But they just, you know, I asked to forgive me and they said they couldn't. I was really sad about that. And, you know, it's heartbreaking, actually. And I really struggled with it. And but then I realized after many weeks, I realized I have no control over that person forgiving me. The problem I'm experiencing right now is that I haven't forgiven myself. I've not forgiven myself for making that mistake and doing that thing and hurting that person in my reaction. And I had to intentionally, over a period of weeks, forgive myself. And that was really hard. But I think we've got many of those things in our lives that could add to this toxic sense of self-loathing or self-hatred, or where we just won't let ourselves off the hook. And here's what Paul says to the in Colossians to the church. And you know, again, what if we were to apply this to how we view ourselves? Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. And if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So, you know, we're called to forgive other people. What if we were to have that same approach to ourselves? And obviously that means we need to ask for forgiveness when we've hurt other people. We need to do all those things. It's not an either or, but we need to be able to forgive ourselves. Thirdly, self-acceptance. And obviously all these three are very interconnected, but what would it look like if we could just accept ourselves? Again, here's a scripture. This is Jesus in Matthew's Gospel. Where he's with the Pharisees again. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. So Jesus had this incredible gift of just accepting people where they were, as they were. He wasn't asking people to change and then he would love them. Jesus was all about change, for sure. But acceptance wasn't down to that. For the religious people, like the Pharisees, it's like, okay, you know, to be accepted, you've got to do this, do that, do the other. You've got to be different. But for Jesus, it was all about, no, I accept you exactly as you are right now. And in fact, that empowered people into change. It was that love and acceptance that was the energy, if you like, that drove people's change. And the opposite of that is guilt and fear, and that doesn't really result in any healthy change. So Jesus was so accepting. What if we were to be as accepting of ourselves as that? Right now, I know I'm not perfect, but I can't be anything other than I am right now. One day, I'm hoping that I'll be a bit different, maybe tomorrow. I hope I will be different than I am today. In 10 years' time, I hope I'll be different again. I hope I will change in a positive way. But right now, I can't be anything other than I am myself. So I have to accept myself as I am right now, with all my baggage, with all my failings, with all my past, with my whole story. I have to accept who I am right now, not who I want to be or who I might be. And again, we can practice that intentional self-acceptance, I think, in a way that we would extend to somebody else. We know nobody's perfect, and the people we love the most are clearly not perfect, but we accept them despite their imperfections. And so these are three practices, intentional practices, that we can, intentional reflection, do in order to grow slowly in the art of loving ourselves a little bit more. And if you think about the outcomes of this, what might life be like if we were able to do that? If we were able to love ourselves a little bit more? I think, again, of that scripture at the beginning where Jesus says, come to me with your burden, with your tiredness. What if this burden of self-hatred, this burden of lack of self-love was lifted off our shoulders? What would that look like? Well, firstly, I think we would have a much greater sense of well-being. We would feel good. And I think even saying that makes us feel a little bit guilty, right? It's like, well, we don't deserve to feel good, or that sounds selfish or hedonistic or whatever, but that's something worth celebrating. What if actually God really wants you to feel really good about yourself and walk around every day feeling that? Not that we would then get lazy and not think that we need to change or think that we're God's gift or whatever, but actually that we'd just be in that healthy state. That would be a really beautiful thing. Secondly, we would actually, rather than getting lazy, I think would actually change for positive, because many of those dysfunctional behaviors that we were talking about earlier would begin to dissipate as we're not having to compensate so much. Thirdly, I think we'd become more vulnerable and open with people because we'd be more empathetic. We'd be able to be confident about ourselves and just open up and share our own faults and failings in a way that's going to really help other people, rather than hiding away and pretending that we're better than we are, not being open and being withdrawn. So it would be good for other people as well. And I think ultimately we would change more, because in a atmosphere of love and acceptance, honesty is so much more possible. So, you know, as we think, and as we go through this series, I think we're going to see areas in our lives where we need to be honest, where we know we need to change. And we can do that in an atmosphere where we're accepting ourselves and loving ourselves. When we're in an atmosphere of self-hatred, it's very hard for us to be honest. It's very hard for us to open up. So we're going to just do a little practice now, where we're going to intentionally practice self-compassion. So just, you might want to turn off your video for this. Feel free to keep it on if you'd like to, but feel free to turn it off if that feels more comfortable. I would suggest closing our eyes. Just sit in a physically neutral position. You just want to be in a way where your body's not a distraction, so your back's straight and your feet are on the floor, and you can just be comfortable and take some breaths in and out. So that's one way that we center ourselves. We're going to put an image up on the screen, as I said, you can have your eyes closed or you can look at that image. That's a relaxing image. And just focus in on your breathing. And what we're going to do is be present to ourselves. So this is you and you, if you like. As you focus on your breathing, just be very present to yourself. Be very aware of yourself, even your mind, your thoughts, your feelings, even the feelings and sensations in your body. Just be very present to yourself. And each time you feel yourself wandering and getting distracted, just return to your breathing and be present to yourself. So let's just take a moment to do that, and then I'll guide us a little further in this meditation. Now, just be aware of your thoughts and feelings about yourself. What does it feel like to be with yourself? Is that comfortable or is it uncomfortable? If it's comfortable and it feels very positive, that's great. Celebrate that. If it feels uncomfortable, if things come to mind about yourself that you don't really like or in which you feel inadequate, or that you feel you're not dealing with well. Just notice those things. Don't try to evaluate them. Don't try to fix them. Just notice those feelings, those more negative feelings. And now, intentionally look at yourself with all your faults and failings, with all your current feelings. Intentionally look at yourself with compassion, as you would a friend. Just be compassionate to yourself. You're someone with a story. There's reasons for all these feelings and thoughts. It's not over yet. You're in process. Be compassionate to yourself intentionally. Hold that compassionate space for yourself for a moment. Amen. So that's a practice, as I mentioned, that is in the discussion questions this week. So we've got an opportunity to do that each day this week for a few moments. And it's something that I think doesn't bring about change immediately, but it's something we can practice, like all practices, that over time begin to make a difference. So I hope you find that effective. Do check out the discussion questions. There's opportunity to dig a little bit deeper into the material this week. We're going to take communion now, so you may want to get some bread and wine or some other kind of liquid refreshment and something to eat, and we'll enjoy communion together.